Shishra Tites, and Herman Rav Schwartz, and Kala Kadosh Hazeh. It is once again a tremendous chus to be able to attend this community-wide Kinnus Tshuva. During these Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's a privilege to be able to share Divrei Torah, Divrei Chizuk with all of you, but even a bigger privilege personally to be able to hear from Rabbi Herman, Rabbi Schwartz, Rav Tites, which is something that, as a Rav in Almora Hills, I don't always have an opportunity to do. I thank Rabbi Schwartz for putting this together months in advance, making everything possible, the title, the topic, and without him, none of this would have been possible. So, Ashrecha, Yashar Koach. As I spoke about in Rosh Hashanah, what better way to prepare for Yom Kippur and to really get through these Aseres Yemei Tshuva than to come before the Melech Malchei Amlachim with a sense of Achdus, coming together in Limud HaTorah and in Tefillah soon to come. And the topic this evening is ripped from the very last Mishnah in the first parak of Avos, Kiyum HaOlam, what sustains the world? The Mishnah tells us as follows, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Kayim. On these three things, the world endures and is sustained. Al Hadin, on justice, Al HaEmes, on truth, Yah HaShalom, and on peace. Now for some of you, this might sound somewhat familiar, similar to a topic that we discussed 2 years ago. That evening, we explained the second Mishnah in the first parak of Avos, Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Omid, Shimon HaTzadik taught us, that the world stands on three things, Al HaTorah, V'Al HaAvoda, V'Al Gemilas Chasadim, on Torah study, on serving God, and on doing acts of loving kindness one to another. So which is it? Does the world stand on Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim? Or does it stand on Din, Emes, and Shalom? Which is it? Within the same parak, it seems to be contradicting itself. So you might tell me that the world stands on the first three and then ultimately is sustained by the last three. But if that's so, then why are the first three insufficient to continue to sustain the world? Why does the Kiyum HaOlam, the endurance of the world, depend on truth, on justice, and on peace? Is it a matter of dispute between Shimon HaTzadik and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? The Meiri says that's impossible. After all, Shimon HaTzadik was a member of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Who is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel to argue on him? And if it's truly a machlokas, if it's truly a dispute between the two of them, then why not put these two statements together in the same Mishnah? Why would Rebbe separate them on polar opposite sides of the same parak? So Rabbeinu Yonah, on the Mishnah and Mishnah Beis, explains that Hashem initially created the world because of Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. Shenivra ha'olam b'shvilam, mipnei shehem ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because those three things are the will of God. And so how are we to understand the Mishnah before us this evening? Rav Yaakov Emden explains, if it was good enough for the three pillars to create the world, then why couldn't Hashem sustain the world? Why couldn't Kiyum HaOlam depend on those same three things? So Rav Yosef Karo, in his opening remarks to the last section of Shulchan Aruch, his introduction to Siman Aleph of Choshen Mishpat, asks the same question and arrives at a similar answer as Rav Yaakov Emden. He says, "Yef shirli hibaros ha'olam b'avur ha'gimel shehizkir Rav Shimon ben Gamliel." It's impossible for the world to have been created because of justice, because of peace, and because of truth. Abal achar shenivra b'gimel shehizkir Shimon HaTzadik hukiyim b'gimel to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Once the world already exists because of Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim, so what allows it to continue? What continues to fuel the fire in which the world exists until today? He wouldn't have created a world of Din and Emes and Shalom had he not created Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. But why? What changed between the time that Hashem thought about creating the world founded on Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim to the time of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, when the world now is sustained by Din, Emes, and Shalom? Rav Yosef Karo says something very significant happened. The entire Jewish world changed with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Shimon HaTzadik, he says, Diber kefi hazmano. Shimon HaTzadik was talking in his lifetime. Shehaya Beis HaMikdash Kayim, that the Beis HaMikdash still existed, the world was still in a more idealistic place. We were able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were able to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. You see the Kohen Gadol coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You bring Karbanos, the Nisach HaMayim. All those opportunities to come close to God transformed us. But we don't have that anymore. And Shimon Gamliel, Shehaya Bizman HaKorban, he was living in a very different reality. He lived after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and he lived in our world. So if that's the case, how do we endure during these bitter, dark days of exile? Says the Beis Yosef, Balomar sha'afal pi she'ein Beis HaMikdash kayam, even though the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist, and those opportunities of connection between us and God are not nearly as strong as they once were, ve'ein lanu avoda, we don't have the opportunity to bring karbanos, to see the Shechina so clearly as it was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. V'gam einanu yecholim lasot b'torah v'gemilas chasadim karoi. And we think we're learning? It's not quite the same. We give tzedakah, we do chesed, we don't even come close to what existed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. V'pnei ol ha-galus. We're busy. We don't have as much time to learn. We don't feel that connection, that drive. We don't go back to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year to recharge our batteries, our spiritual batteries, to remind us of what's important in life. Life in a state of Chorban, in a state of Galus, is incomplete. No matter how many Bachrim are learning in the Mir. We can't even do Gemilas Chasadim the way we want to, but Mikol Makom, and concludes the Beis Yosef, Miskayim Ha'olam B'Gimel Achirim Shedomim Lahem. But we still have the opportunity to continue to sustain the world in a different way that's similar. Nothing's ever going to be able to match that time. Shadin Sibas Kim HaTorah Shehaover HaTorah Yanishenu B'din. That justice is actually similar to Torah. Just like a person who's Shomer Torah Mitzvos has to adhere to a certain standard, has to abide by certain laws, that's the din. Din continues to exist in this world, just like the Torah was the reason that the world was first created. V'ha'emes, tikon lavoda, and truth, that's connected to our davening. How? Sha'ayidei ha'avoda ha'isa ha'shchina shora b'neinu, through our tfilos. So the Shechina comes down and rests among us. V'hainu mishkachem b'mishmiras ha'emes, when a person guards the truth. So we know that if we're not davening, or if we're not davening the way we could, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not really acknowledging God in our lives. There's a distance, there's a disconnect between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we're Shomer HaEmes, if we guard the truth, Shuchosamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the seal of God, Nikar, Nakir V'Nispal Leilav, it's going to bring us closer to the point that we're going to be motivated to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Hal HaShalom Keneged Gemilas Chasadim. And that peace is brought about through acts of loving kindness, as Rabbi Schwartz spoke about so beautifully 2 years ago. Not about doing acts of chesed, but being a gomel chesed, transforming ourselves into a person who's always looking for those opportunities. So when a person has that perspective, that's going to be mar b'shalom ba'olam, it's going to increase the sense of peace and tranquility among the Jewish people. Now, initially I struggled with how to relate something that most of the Mefarshim on this Mishnah relate to Dayanos, to judges in rabbinical courts. There aren't many Dayanim in this room. How do we apply this to this time of Aseres Yemei Teshuva? But what the Beis Yosef is explaining to us so beautifully is that a person who's Shomer Torah Mitzvos, a person who adheres to the letter of the law, who abides by the halachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us, we are sustaining the world. We're no different than a judge who's upholding the law. That's his responsibility. Our responsibility today and tomorrow and the days ahead is to continue to abide by the Torah HaKadosh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us millennia ago. You don't need to be a Dayan, and you don't even need to be a man to be able to sustain the world each and every day. Anybody can take part in sustaining the world just by living a life of Torah and Mitzvos. And we know we find ourselves in the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. This is much easier said than done. You wouldn't have so much to do teshuva for. But there's something unique about din, about justice, The Beis Yosef continues to explain. Shekol gibel dvarim shehizkir Rav Shimon ben Gamliel him be'inyan hadin. That emes and shalom are all wrapped into justice. Kimasha amar al adin hu taloi b'dayam adunu la'emes, la'amito. V'yach la'emes taloi b'edim shelo ya'idu sheker. We think the din, that justice is related to the legal system. But the legal system depends on witnesses coming to court. The average citizen is required to tell the truth, to testify accurately, honestly, truthfully, each and every time. Again, there's a role for each and every person. V'yach ha'shalom, and also on peace. Talei b'bali hadin l'salik meriva mebeinayhem. A person has some issue that they bring to a rabbinical court, and it gets very heated, very acrimonious. They don't speak to the person. I'm bringing you to Beis Din. I'm not going to talk to you until this is settled. But then once it's settled, they have to be mekabel aleihem es hadin b'sefer panim yafos. So we put the litigation behind us, and we accept the case, the ruling, whatever the dayanim see is fair, as fairly, which again is easier said than done. But we see that there's room for each and every one of us to participate in the sustenance, the endurance of the world. And on a practical level, I think that each of us is actually engaged in this process, not in a formal sense as a dayan, but as somebody who lives in this world. What does a dayan do? A dayan listens to two opposing opinions, listens carefully to the details, has to weigh the merits and demerits, has to weigh the consequences, and has to arrive at an honest and truthful decision. Each and every one of us, we speak to people, we hear things. Is it hearsay? Is it accurate? We have to decide, who do I want to speak to? Are they going to tell me the MS? Are they going to skew my opinion? How is that going to impact my life and the life of my family? And so in a certain sense, we're all dayanim. We're all walking around, but that requires, what does a dayan have to do? To use their shikol hadas, to use the das, the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us with Tzelem Elokim, not to just go with the flow and to operate on roads, but to be looking out for the fine details that might change my course of action. Maybe somebody did something. Maybe I misunderstood it. Maybe there's another side that I need to look out for. We know the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, L'charho Yerushalayim el ha-shadanu bezdin, din Torah, that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed until the judges started judging based on the Torah. And the Gemara says, well, what else should they be judging on? Aladina de Megizta del Dainu? Should they judge it arbitrarily? There's a system. We have a Torah. What does the Gemara mean? Ala'ema shehamidu dinayim al din Torah velo avru lefnim ishura sadin. They only decided the laws according to the letter of the law. They didn't look for any other extenuating circumstances. They didn't see how they might be able to resolve this in a more amicable way. That doesn't always work. Din, justice, doesn't need to be so strict. We can be dan l'kav schus sometimes also. That's also a way of being dan, of judging another person or a situation. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially wanted to have a world that would be so rigid, that would be founded exclusively on din, exclusively on justice. But then Hashem thought, I'm going to create people, and people will never be able to endure. That would be the end of the world. There would be no kiyum ha'olam, because we can't live in a world of strict justice. Hashem, we know, wants to be a gomel chesed. He wants to shower kindness upon us. And one of the best gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is the gift of teshuva, is the gift of repentance. After all, the Ramchal tells us at the end of the fourth perek of Mesilas Yesharim, that according to strict justice, a person would sin, game over. Their life is over. You broke a rule, you're out. Death. Immediate punishment. But it's only because Hashem wants to be a gomel chesed that He gave us the opportunity to do tshuva. And so He delays the punishment a little bit to see if we use that extra time wisely. Do we deliberate what we did? Do we think about the consequences? Do we feel remorseful about it? Do we commit never to do it again, and then do we confess and apologize for it? All those things are one of the greatest gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us. Not because Hashem doesn't have this attribute of justice. Of course He does. It's not a contradiction. But a person can be just and still be a rachem and still be merciful on those around them. That's what these days are all about. that grabbing onto the gift of tshuva and using the opportunity wisely. If we're always looking for snap judgments against others, to convict them, to find their flaws, to tell them what they've done wrong, so what do we expect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do for us? Not only this year, but Acher Me'ev Yashrim, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the same way that we judge other people, Hashem is going to judge us in kind. We're not judges. We're not dayanim. We don't ever need to work according to strict justice. Just yesterday, I was 5 minutes late to shul. And somebody said, Rabbi, third day of the year, you're late to shul. And I looked at my watch, and I looked at the clock, and I realized that Friday night my battery died. But this person wants to judge so quickly. For what? To make me feel badly? To make himself feel good that he was on time to shul? Maybe somebody's watch broke. Maybe they forgot. Maybe something happened at home. There's always another reason. I remember the day that my grandfather, Olav HaShalom, was nifter. The Rav of my shul was on the phone with my mother preparing the arrangements for the funeral. And he came to shul 10 minutes late and somebody said, Rabbi, so late to shul. He didn't say a word. Sometimes people judge us and we feel like we have to respond. That doesn't enhance our shalom. It just creates greater machlokas. And finally, I'd like to conclude with the Chazon Ish. One final story. Chazon Ish used to tell people that if they saw people driving, he used to tell his Talmidim, if they saw people driving on Shabbos, so don't think that there's so many people who are Mechal Shabbos. Ay, to Klal Yisrael. But rather to think that it's the same car driving back and forth and back and forth. And that we should think kindly of our fellow Jews, that it's one person, it's not 100 people. To think of ways that we can find favor in each other's eyes and to judge other people more positively. Mayor Goldwich tells the story of a butcher. There was a man who was walking past the butcher shop and sees a truck pulling into the back, and it's a noticeably non-kosher company, Tyson Chicken, for example. And he begins to go inside, the truck driver goes inside, and a minute later starts unpacking his product, his inventory, into the butcher shop. And the man is aghast. The butcher shop is under a reputable hashkacha. How could it be? The man's serving tarfas, he's trying to trick us. So he snaps a picture on his phone and he sends it out with a text message, posted on Facebook, cross-posted to Twitter and WhatsApp and everything else in the community listserv, and everybody finds out about it. People think, wow, we knew it. His prices were too high. He was never open when we needed him to be open. And he was tricking us all along. And they stop supporting this shop. Nobody walks in there. And somebody walks in and says, I thought you were honest. What did you do? And he said, what do you mean? Well, you had this partnership with Tyson. I said, what partnership? It was, the guy needed some place to leave his stuff for a couple of hours. The man didn't buy it and he walked out. Ultimately, the man was put out of business. A month later, due to the stress of supporting his family without a parnasa, he had a heart attack and he died. And 2 months later, the same man was going past the same butcher shop and sees the same Tyson truck with the same driver trying to enter the store, and it finds the door is locked. It's closed. And he goes up to the guy and he says, because of your partnership, the store has been put out of business. He says, what partnership are you talking about? He said, well, you brought your stuff. He was trying to trick us by selling non-kosher meat. And the man said, my truck broke down that day. My fridge broke down. I asked him if I could store, if he had any room in his fridge where he could store my meat. And he said, yes. And he watched me as I packed it into his fridge. He cordoned it off. He watched it with his own eyes. He wouldn't let any worker into the fridge to make sure that it didn't get mixed up with his own product. That's not a partnership. I came back today to say thank you because I happened to be in the area. And the man shuddered with fear. And he went to his Rav and he asked him, what should I do? What's the tshuva that I can do for this person? And he said, you have to take a minion to his kever, take 10 people to his grave and ask mechila, ask him for forgiveness. And not only that, but you have to support his family, his wife, and his 5 orphans for the rest of your life. Rav said, being down the kavschus is a lot cheaper. And it's a lot easier, and it's a lot less scary, and snapping to judgment. And we do it too often. I'm guilty of it myself. But it's an opportunity for us today to think about the din that we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be done us, l'kav sechus. To be more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mahu Racham, Racham Afata Racham. Hashem didn't create this world with strict justice. He created it with tshuva, with rachamim, with gifts, allowing us time to be better, to improve ourselves, and to find out what the emes and what the truth is. L'man Hashama. May we all be zocha to always have that favorable disposition towards our family, towards our community members, and to all of Klal Yisrael. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us a gemar chasim etova. Everything we daven for ourselves should be answered the tova.